So it's another episode of Them Aspergers. I actually have no idea what number episode we're on now. I did start numbering them, but I don't know anymore where we are.
I don't know where we're at.
So moving away from our normal structure, dynamic, whatever you want to call it for this episode, I've decided that I'm picking the topic this week.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because of something that's come up. I say come up, but you've been ruminating and thinking about something too much this week, I think. So I figured, do a podcast on it, get it out of your system, and then it might be better for you. So, what?
Nothing.
What's wrong with that?
No, you're right.
Am I right?
You're right.
Do you even know what it is?
I know what I've been thinking about too much and calling you just to rant about, yeah.
Yeah, you have been calling me, which is good. It's good that you have a burger buddy to ring when you're verging on meltdown. That's always a good thing to do. I guess, like, when you're about to have a meltdown, it's good to have someone to call that's on the spectrum as well.
Yeah.
Because you understand what's happening. I guess for those that just know people that are autistic but aren't themselves... Yeah, if you know somebody else that's on the spectrum, I guess it's different than telling someone that's not knows you but doesn't know you, like they kind of have seen it, know what you're going through, but wouldn't know.
Don't understand.
Yeah, so like it's good that you called me about that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so like the topic we're talking about is why people go undiagnosed.
Yeah.
Or I suppose I want to talk to you about how people can go, like the late diagnosed. There's been a few people lately that I've spoken to, weirdly, that are late diagnosed, are waiting diagnosis. And yeah, it's just one of those things that you have to try and figure out why some people just go unnoticed, I guess. Like, what is it about that does stuff? I mean, initially you can put it down to awareness, I suppose.
Yeah.
People not knowing what it's about, what it is. You know, with some people you just assume that's what they are. But like, I mean, it's you that's been thinking about this a lot this week. So, you know, normally when we talk about this and you do the topic, I do all the talking to start off with. But because this one's mainly about... Well, I say mainly about you. I mean, I know I went through the same thing you went through.
Yeah, but... like everything that I've called you about and ranted to you about, I kind of felt like I was saying all the words of things that I was thinking, but equally I know that you've said basically exactly the same thing to me before about yourself. So I guess we have almost like identical feelings on it.
Yeah. I mean, what's the thing you've been going through? Because obviously for you, it's a new thing. I mean, I'm the one that told you about possibility I'm the one that said you've got it. I know you've said that other people in the past have suggested you might.
Yeah.
But you didn't really give much weight to it, I guess. It wasn't until I said it that you, I suppose, took it on board. I mean, I am good at spotting it in people, I think. I've got good at that.
Yeah.
Recognizing it in people. I have suggested it to other people who have been in the past and then they've gone to have it looked at and then it turns out they are.
Yeah.
And obviously with you, I'm like 100% that you definitely are autistic, that you've got Asperger's. Like I would say in your case, your Asperger's is way more noticeable than my own.
Yeah.
And I got diagnosed. Mine was accidental, I suppose. Like I... didn't want to get diagnosed. Well, I wasn't looking for a diagnosis of Asperger's. I was looking for something else and it just came up. Whereas in your case, you're going at it like that. But yeah, this week you've had some proper issues with it. And I just guess, like, what are they? Like, what's your main problem with this late diagnosis? Like, because you seem happy that it's okay that you've been diagnosed or that you're in the process of waiting a diagnosis now. I know you're in a list and you're waiting to be assessed and be diagnosed. But... this week you've seemed kind of annoyed that nobody noticed, I guess, is the thing you're looking for. Is that you don't like that people didn't pick up on it. But yeah, it's more along that, like what's annoyed you about it.
Yeah. Well, like, it's weird because obviously last week we did the pros of Asperger's and it was quite positive and I felt really positive.
Yeah.
But then, so it's not like a, yeah, it's not an angry at having it. It's an anger at going so long without any kind of help or support. And I don't think it's because I've been incapable, because I'm not incapable. I don't think being on the spectrum means that you're necessarily incapable. Like, I could do things, but I just think, like, it means that I've struggled a lot more to do things that other people would find easy. And I guess, like, what triggered it was I got my uni results back this week. And, I mean, I failed everything. But I have a lot of anger over it because, not just because I failed because I hate my course, and I'm annoyed because I told everyone in my second year that I hated the course I was doing. I didn't think that I should do it. I'm annoyed that I took the course because I feel like I only took it because a careers advisor basically told me he just gave me this one option. I'm annoyed that I took the A-levels I took because, again, I just took them because people told me I should. But I don't feel like anyone ever went, like, what do you want to do? And I wouldn't have necessarily known, but I wasn't really, like, I just went along with everything that everyone told me, and that's what ended me up on a course that I didn't want to do. And then I just stuck with it because I just got told to stick with it. And then when I told the uni about having been to a therapist and now being on the waiting list to getting diagnosed, there was no support that was offered, and I'm not, like, criticising my university for it, but, like, I had to get up and do a presentation where I couldn't do it. I was really bad at the presentation itself. I can't sit in exams. Exam rooms make me really uncomfortable. I hate walking into a room full of people. I can't put my hand up to ask to go to the toilet or to ask to leave or anything like that because that makes me nervous. I struggled with the exams anyway because, like, revising for something that I fundamentally disagree with, which is my own problem with the course, but I have a proper issue with the thing I'm studying. I don't agree with it. So that's difficult for me to, I don't know, and I'm just angry that I know that I was different the whole way through growing up. So, like, my mum obviously said that she always thought I was on the spectrum. I didn't really have many friends. I feel like at school it should have been obvious because I didn't have many friends, and I didn't really, I wasn't really, like, I couldn't put my hand up in class and ask questions or anything like that. And I just feel like there were loads of telltale signs. There's loads of other stuff, like the way I was with food. Couldn't have any food that touched each other on the plate. I couldn't have food that had, like, sauce on it. Like, everything had to be proper plain. Just the way I am with routines. Like, there was loads of things, I think, that would be giveaways, but no one did anything about it, and that's what irritates me. And I'm not, like, blaming any one particular person. I just wish that someone somewhere down the line had, like, just picked up on it, and then maybe I could have got some support.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know what you mean. People don't, well, I guess, because there's, like, I mean, one of the reasons we're doing these, like, podcasts is because it's more of an awareness thing. Because obviously I'd always noticed that when I watch Asperger's stuff on telly or you read about it in books or anything like that, I always feel like it's from the view of someone who studied it, understands it that way, and they're giving, like, a factual representation of it.
Yeah.
So I kind of always felt like something like this would be a good idea because you're hearing, like, two people who have it different ways at different stages of it. Like,
yeah,
I've been diagnosed 7 years and a bit now. But yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, when you get diagnosed, like, initially you're happy that you've had the diagnosis, but then you start looking back at your own life and realizing all these things you did that, you know, were different, or why you know why you did them now.
Yeah.
Back then you didn't. You look at it and think, nobody else was doing this. Why was I doing this? Why did I see it this way? Or why did I behave this way? And then you realize, like, you get told your diagnosis, you get told what it is, you find out what Asperger's is, and then all this stuff suddenly makes sense. And there's like this weird relief and like weight off your shoulders. You're like, ah, oh, that makes sense. Like, oh, that's great. Like, that's why I did that. And, you know, I'm not a weirdo and that kind of thing. But then later on, when you think about it some more, you start thinking, why did nobody notice this? Like, it's blatant now. Like, you can't see it another way. Initially, you're thinking, why am I behaving this way? And then when you get a diagnosis, all these weird things that you couldn't understand all of a sudden make sense. And yeah, you do start thinking, why did nobody else notice? I mean, what do you think the benefits of, say, you were diagnosed at like the standard age of 4? What benefits to that do you think there are?
I don't know. Like, I think there's benefits and drawbacks to both early and late diagnosis. I think the benefits would be just not being forced to hide. I don't know how it works. I don't know how you're treated. So I can't say for sure, but I feel like you wouldn't be forced as much to do things that made you really uncomfortable. So, like, for example, I was often like told that I had to go and say, I had to go and make friends with like people. Like, if I went on holiday, if there were other kids there, like, I'd be told, like, you have to go over and introduce yourself and make friends. And that was something that I really didn't want to do and that I found really uncomfortable. That's just one example, but things like that. At uni, I can't sit in lectures and listen, like I've spoken about this before. So maybe there would have been some way to go around that. I don't know. Just elements of support. But then I also think one of the benefits to a late diagnosis is you kind of figure out how to do stuff and how to blend in, and maybe you fit in with NT people better.
Yeah, I mean, I've said that before.
Yeah.
The late diagnosis you can't tell are on the spectrum, but the early diagnosed ones you can.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's because I've always thought that the ones that are early diagnosed just have a purer version of Asperger's, I suppose, because it's not having to be hidden or masked or anything like that, which is more what you've had to do. It's definitely something I had to do.
Yeah.
But I know you're annoyed with like the uni not being able to help you because you emailed them and told them and they didn't do anything. And obviously you said you can't really like give presentations and that kind of thing. And I know that your grade from uni has bothered you, mainly because it's not what, well, I mean, I don't know if it is what you wanted, but it's not great. And I know you pretty much put the whole grade of that down to, not being diagnosed or not getting the support you needed. I mean, same for me, like going to school, college, uni, that kind of thing. All my grades are like really average, and that's just because you didn't have the support network you need. I mean, but I would have thought more with you than me, because you're younger than me, that when you were in school, autism was something that was more recognized, I guess. Like when I was in school, I've mentioned before, it was a time when people didn't notice. So when I went through school, people wouldn't, I mean, I could have been doing things that were blatantly obvious, but no one really picked up on what it is because it's something that isn't very well known. And then by the time I'd made it to like through secondary school to college and that, I'd learned how to hide it so well, you wouldn't notice it anymore anyway. But in your case, I would have assumed that someone would have picked up on it sooner, because I'm assuming by the time you went to school, like, it was definitely more established. People knew what it was. So it just seems weird that you weren't. But then equally, like, I don't know what you were like as a child. I don't know how obvious it was. Like, it's a weird thing. Because if I hadn't have told you that you've got Asperger's, then I'm not sure how this would have gone with what's happened recently. Like, I don't know if you'd feel any differently. Like, because obviously you've got something to reason why. But, like, if I hadn't have told you this, how would you have felt about, like, what happened with the uni and that?
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know. Like, it's difficult because I don't blame getting a bad grade on having Asperger's, because that's not the problem. Like, I am not very good at the course I'm doing. I don't agree with it. And like, I don't understand it. Like, I genuinely don't understand it. So that's not, it's not me saying that because I've got Asperger's is the reason why I've done bad at uni. It's not. Like, I've done bad at uni because I don't understand the course and I'm not.
Well, yeah, I know that, but when you called me about your, like, when you were going to have a meltdown, you called me. Like, you were talking about how you were just annoyed that nobody noticed.
Yeah, I'm just annoyed that, yeah, I kind of feel like it was almost like letting me struggle, letting me suffer. Like, and it wasn't, and it's not, like I say, it's not like one particular person's fault. I'm just angry that it slipped through the, yeah, I kind of feel like I slipped through the system.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. Like I say, I don't know, if I'm honest, I don't know how it works. So I'm not sure, it must be the parents that do it.
Yeah.
So parents must have to go to whoever.
Yeah.
Say there's something weird about my child, get him diagnosed, get him sorted. And that's how kids work. So it's like a parent's decision. I know when you get older, like, you just get yourself referred and then it's done. And it does seem to be more and more people are getting themselves diagnosed these days. I've always sort of asked people, like, why they're doing it. Some people are just doing it because they need to know. Some people are doing it to get help and support. Do you know what I mean? Like, that kind of thing. Like, I did it because I needed support and you're doing it because you need to know.
Yeah.
But it's just... Yeah, I guess because the awareness is more so now that more and more people are being told this is a possibility, you might be on the spectrum, you might get help. But, like, do you feel like, because I did, do you feel like you've kind of missed out on stuff then because you weren't diagnosed sooner? Like, because I always kind of wanted, like a chance to go through, like, everything again. So, like, almost like a reset button. Once I got diagnosed, I kind of wanted to go back to, like, being a child again and just going through that again, but as someone that's on the spectrum. And it took me a while to realise that that wasn't something that could happen.
Yeah.
So the weird thing I've noticed with Asperger's is, you know, when you say a situation happens, an interaction with someone, and you think, oh, I should have said that. Yeah. Why didn't I say that? You start believing that there is a possibility that you can go back and tell them what you wanted to tell them. It doesn't occur to you that what's happened has happened and there's nothing that you can do about that. You genuinely believe, like, it's the same with, like, when I start thinking about, like, playing the lottery. Like, I think, oh, yeah, and when I win it, this is what I'm going to do. And then it's happened. Like, there's no, like, weird, like, yeah, but that might not happen. And I think that's the same thing with, like, you know, you can't deal with the hypotheticals and that kind of thing. I think there's, like, a weird black and white thinking to this, where you think you can go back. So when I got diagnosed, I believed there was a way to go back.
And start again.
Start again. And then you have to accept the fact that you can't. And you've gone through your life to this point and there's no starting again. You've just got to then continue from where you are now, knowing what you know. But I went through the same thing. I started thinking, like, oh, I should have done this. I could have done that. I would have been here. Like, and you get this... I suppose you are angry. Yeah. Initially, you are angry about it. You're angry that nobody picked up on it. Nobody noticed. My main issue, I think, was uni.
Yeah.
Because the things uni was calling me in for were things that I looked at, like, some of my older projects and essays and things I'd written in uni and looked at the notes on the front. And the things that I failed them for or, like, got a really low mark for were things that were Asperger related.
Yeah.
All of it. I didn't see anything on any of them that wasn't. I now look at them and just think, yeah, this is because of that. That's why I didn't do well here.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, my degree turned out to be quite a low level degree. I haven't done anything with it and I graduated like 8 years ago. And I'm not going to do anything with it. And obviously I've got a debt now because obviously I took a loan out to go to uni and that kind of thing. And you do think, like, I should get that money back because I went through uni and it was a waste of time because I didn't have the support. Even though I don't know what the support is for people that have got Asperger's, I don't know what people that Asperger's that go through uni, college, school, what they actually get or what the difference is. But I feel like it would have been better. And like you said with your careers advisor, telling you to do a course that you didn't want to do. The thing is with Asperger's, obviously, like a lot of people with Asperger's probably know this, we're not good at making decisions.
Yeah.
We don't really get like a gut feeling towards stuff. The amount of times people have asked me, what do you want to do with your life? And the amount of times I've gone, I don't know.
Yeah.
So you then know you've got to make a decision. So you just let other people make the decisions for you because that's easier, because you think you've got working like brain empathy, yeah, sympathy, whatever, like you can make a decision. You've seen me, you know me, what do you think I should do? And they tell you and you just go, right, that's what I'm doing then.
Yeah.
And then you just go running straight into it because there's not that part of you that says, are you sure you want to do this? Because you don't know. And I think that's the problem. Like, had you been diagnosed, maybe the careers advisor would have been different, would have told you something. And you just got this annoyance that you picked a course you didn't want to do.
Yeah.
You didn't get the help. And the things that your grades are on, or the reason that you failed so far, is all to do with Asperger's.
Yeah,
like all of it. All the reasons why you haven't been able to do certain things is because of your Asperger's. And obviously, if you were diagnosed, you would have got some sort of help through that. So that's why you're angry. I mean, like I say, I went through the same thing. Obviously, ages ago, I went through the same thing. But you do, once you get diagnosed, there is that initial, like I said, wave of this is good. Like, I'm glad I know. This makes sense. And then it's usually followed with this, why has no one said this before?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, like, another thing that I was coming to terms with when I was getting angry was, I was excited to get diagnosed, and I kind of feel like one of the reasons I wanted to get diagnosed was, like, obviously you've got a social worker that helps you out with things.
Yeah.
I kind of figured that I would get a social worker, be able to say to the social worker, I don't want to do the job I'm doing.
Yeah.
I want to do a job that's right for me. And the social worker will just go, cool, this job's right for you. You can just start doing this now. And it wasn't like an active thought, but I think it was a subconscious thought in my head. And then I just kind of, it clicked the other day that that's not going to happen. That's just...
I don't know. Like, when I got diagnosed, I obviously saw a regular therapist who helps you come to terms with your diagnosis. I saw a sensory therapist, told me about my sensory needs and that kind of thing. And then I saw an occupational therapist who just went through some things about me to try and help me. I mean, obviously, I still didn't find the job I was looking for. I mean, it's still NHS funded. You only get so many sessions.
Yeah.
But she tried to help me find what I might be good at. And social workers are good because obviously if there is a job you do want and you can't go for the interview process, they help with that. Like, if you haven't got a CV, they're good at helping with that kind of stuff. Like, so there is stuff they can do. But I know what you mean. Like, once you get diagnosed, you think that you'll be able to figure out what's really like you, because you feel like you found this big part of yourself out that you didn't know.
Yeah.
So then all the other stuff you think will start fitting into place. Loads of stuff does. Some stuff still doesn't come. And I think knowing what you want to do with your life is not one of those things that comes with getting a diagnosis. I thought it would, but like, as far as knowing what career I want or what job I want to do, I still don't.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, at this point, I'm kind of just... You read a lot about people that have Asperger's not being able to get employment. You have to kind of just think, like, it's lucky I've got a job.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, I know what you mean, though. You do start thinking, like, they can sort this, they can sort that. But I think that's one of the reasons that you need support and help is, so a lot of people with Asperger's, myself, you, we can't decide on stuff.
Yeah.
And obviously you've got to think, before you were diagnosed, you were left to make those decisions by yourself. So you wouldn't know if you're making bad choices, good choices. You're just making choices, which is why you start handing it over to other people, because you can't make that decision.
Yeah.
Whereas once you're diagnosed, you know that about yourself, and then you can ask for help. But before then, I imagine you just were like blindly wandering through stuff and just picking things at random.
Yeah. And this is what worries me, because I had a job at a cafe before I got the job when I was like 15, 16, started working there, and then I stayed working there and I wanted to quit on several occasions. I hated it and I wanted to leave. Like, looking back at it now, it wasn't that bad, but like at the time I hated it. I wanted to leave. I wanted my weekends back, like, because, you know, going to school at the weekend, stuff like that. but I couldn't bring myself to quit. And like now I understand that that's just a trait of Asperger's. It's a change and it's scary. But like I would not quit that job. And the only thing that made me leave, I'd probably still be working there now, is because I was coming to uni and I had always said to my boss that I was coming to uni and that was happening. And even then I went back for Christmas and Easter and the summer holidays. It was only when I got the job here because I needed money. And the only way I could come to that interview was I interviewed with a friend of mine who dragged me to the interview and the two of us sat in there together. And now in the job I'm in, like, I can't see myself leaving because...
It's your routine now.
It's my routine now, yeah. And yeah. It makes me angry that I feel like I'm stuck. And I, like, that's not me saying that I necessarily want to leave my job right now, but I'm just saying that I feel like I'm just going to be stuck in this weird cycle. And that makes me angry that having... Because you hear, like, I hear all the time people say, oh, yeah, well, I was working there, but now I'm working here. And they've just flipped their jobs and just changed their what they're doing. And the same with people doing courses, and they'll just change their course to something else, or they'll just change different parts and different aspects of their life. Like, it's no big deal. Whereas for me, that would be just the biggest, most monumental change. But for them, yeah, it's nothing. It's so flippant and carelessly just whatever.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. But without diagnosis, you do think, well, how are they able to do that? Why can't I do that? But once you've been diagnosed, or now that I've told you that's what it is, I mean, does that make it any better or worse knowing that the reason that you can't just up and leave like everybody else is because there's that part of you that's got so used to the routine of being at work and being in the same place and going to the same thing and doing the same thing day in, day out, that you're settled there, and not settled in the same way that other people settle. When someone with Asperger's settles, you don't settle like, you know, when you hear and people go, oh, I've settled down now, like, I'm settled, like, that kind of thing. It's a different type of settle. Like, it's not, I don't even think settle is a strong enough word for what it is.
Yeah.
It's like you've locked it in. Like, that is what you do now. So, like, when you get a job, it doesn't matter if you hate it. It is what you do.
Yeah.
So you understand the layout of the store. I mean, like, it's part of the reason why we can work in retail is because I'm so used to the things people are going to say that even though they're strangers, they all have the same things they're going to say. I know the layout of the store. I know my jobs for the day. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I have my set things I do on certain days at certain times. But if you up and leave and change job, like, that's like a huge part of your routine gone.
Yeah.
But if you're not diagnosed and you don't understand why you're not leaving and you are autistic, but you haven't had a diagnosis yet, it doesn't make any sense why you can't just leave. You find yourself moaning about something or complaining about the job or complaining about whatever and saying, I hate this, but you don't understand why you can't just go. Whereas if you're diagnosed, you totally get why you can't go. And it makes it a little bit easier, I think, when you know why. Like, I've kind of got into this stage of now just accepting that that is my Asperger's. So now, instead of getting like worked up or angry or upset or meltdowny about something, I kind of treat my Asperger's like it's this entity that has the control. And as much as I'd like to, because that's another thing that is weird when you explain it to someone, is NT people, when they know they do something and they know they've got like a pattern or repetitive behavior, they're aware of it and they try to stop it and break it and do something about it. People with Asperger's, I can tell people what I'm about to do before I'm about to do it, and I can tell them that I don't want to do it because it annoys me, but I'll do it anyway. And I'm so massively self-aware of like all my traits and the things I do, but I'll do them anyway.
Yeah.
And like when I got before diagnosis, I kind of just thought that once I got diagnosed, they'd teach me how to work with them, how to figure it out. But what they taught me was, and I've mentioned this before, is just to be aware that I'm going to do these things and just understand why I do these things. And it does help. It's just at the stage you're at now, you're just going to be thinking about, once you get diagnosed, if you can change the way that you behave. But really, once you get diagnosed, you have to just accept the way you behave.
Yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult because I'm still kind of annoyed. Like, talking about it is making me annoyed, even though...
Yeah, I can see a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm not... It's difficult because, like I said, I'm not annoyed at any particular person or thing. I'm just annoyed... I guess I'm annoyed that it happened to me. I don't know. I don't know how to... Because I know you've gone through exactly the same thing, so maybe you understand it a little bit better.
I got annoyed that I'd gone as long as I'd gone and struggled as long as I'd gone. And, like, I'd seen therapists that told me that I'd managed to survive. And that really annoyed me because I remember thinking, so basically I've just managed to survive this long.
Yeah.
That I've got to where I am because I've just, like, struggled through it and just managed to come out of the other end. So that in itself was irritating because I felt like I had all this like potential and that I could have been something more or achieved more and didn't.
Yeah.
Because I was unnoticed, undiagnosed and just struggling through stuff. So like if you think about it on as a level, like I would say that what I've achieved or who I am now is quite average, plain, I suppose. Work in a shop. Do you know what I mean? Like, got a flat. Like, by the way, people like my, like I don't own a car. Like, yeah, I rent. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't have a mortgage. You know the things that people measure life on.
Yeah.
If you look at me, like if I was NT and the way I am, some people would see me as. I suppose just average because I don't, you know, I don't holiday. I don't really have any like trophies or, you know, like achievements in that sense. Like I've never won like an award for something.
Yeah.
Like, do you know, like the kind of things that people see themselves as successful, like, and I could be massively generalizing here and I probably am. And there's probably people out there that are NT that have the same things I have and consider themselves, do you know what I mean? Like that they've done well.
Yeah.
But like on an autistic scale or on Asperger's, I'm considered to have done really well because like I've managed to hold a job down. Like I don't have to live in a house share and I've managed to be able to live independently.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like I have a job in retail and have been promoted within that job. So that in itself makes things better when you get diagnosed because you're measuring yourself on the NT scale. So you're looking at the way NT people see life and success and happiness and all that kind of stuff. And you're measuring your life against the way they measure life.
Yeah.
But once you get diagnosed, you weigh your life on someone with autism and what they've achieved. And it makes everything a little bit better. So like you stop thinking like, oh, I'm in like a dead end job. You start thinking like, but I managed to have a job and keep a job. As opposed to like, I'm working in a job I hate for, you know, this is not what I want to be doing. You start thinking like, but look how well it is or look how well I'm doing really. And like, it's the same for you. Like you're young, like you have your own place. You are management within a shop. Do you know what I mean? Like you will finish uni at some point this year. Do you know what I mean? So you'll have a degree no matter what grade it is. And you've managed to get that unassisted. So you have to like think of it that way more so, I suppose. Like same for me, like I got GCSEs, I got a degree, all this stuff, and I wasn't diagnosed.
Yeah.
I didn't have any support. Do you know what I mean? Like I just managed to do it, which is considered like a big deal in that sense. You just got to see it more that way. But obviously you've spent how long thinking that you're neurotypical?
Yeah.
So it's getting out of that frame of mind and really understanding that you're not, which is why you want the piece of paper that says you're autistic, because then you've got proof and then you can try and get yourself into the I'm not NT and I am autistic. And then you have to like accept that the things you have done are good things and stop seeing it as like a bad thing.
Yeah.
If you don't get your degree and proper fail and like do your resits and don't get it, like, you know, you need help. You know, you didn't get the help. You didn't do it, but you still managed to get to that stage. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like you have to start doing stuff that way and you have to start seeing things as the achievements you've got. Like when you compare them to what regular people see as achievements, they're not. But when you compare them to, you know, having like autism and being able to achieve them, that's better.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. It's weird. It's just a weird... It's weird because I can't pinpoint what it is specifically that's annoying me. And when I think about it, there's just different things that come up in my head that I find irritating. I find it irritating that a lot of people mentioned to me that I was different, but nobody said why I was different or thought about looking into it. Like,
I suppose, I mean, it's an awareness thing. It's an awareness thing.
I know.
Like, you've got to remember that you didn't know you had it and you didn't consider it a thing. Same with me. I didn't know what Asperger's was until a therapist told me that's what it was. So you've got to think, like, it's not like everybody out there knows what Asperger's is and they know how to identify it. I suppose if it was more of a thing and it was more obvious and it was more, like, I don't know if, like, the information was out there for people to understand what it was, then you'd have done the stuff that you were doing and people would have gone, Asperger's. But they didn't. So, and for most people, they don't know you well enough or don't understand it deep enough. So they just think, weirdo.
Yeah, like and perhaps it's my own fault in the sense that I never went to see a therapist until you told me I should see a therapist.
Yeah.
And to be fair, at that point, I went to see a therapist because of the way I, like, the kind of meltdowns that I have. But it wasn't necessarily for Asperger's. Like, I didn't say that to the therapist. That was their own thing. But yeah, maybe I should have seen a therapist. But then I think, don't blame yourself, because if you've got Asperger's, going to see a therapist is quite a big deal and you wouldn't just do that on your own without being made to. So it's this whole big thing. But yeah, like, nobody ever said to me Asperger's, other than my mum, after I mentioned it, said that she always thought I was on the spectrum. But I did get called a sociopath quite a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it can be seen that way.
Yeah, sociopath, OCD.
Yeah.
And bipolar.
Yeah, bipolar comes up a lot.
They're the three main ones that I got told by my friends and boyfriends that I've had.
Bipolar, I feel like it gets mentioned more with girls. So girls on the spectrum seem to get misdiagnosed as bipolar or something like that more than guys.
Yeah.
In guys, it seems to be... they tend to go to autism first, but yeah, like you said, bipolar and that kind of thing. In girls, it tends to be that one. I don't know why that is. It must be like something to do with like how people perceive emotions in a guy and a girl. But yeah, I have spoken to a few girls that are autistic that have said that they were confused with being bipolar first. So yeah, that's something.
Yeah, I also have noticed from a lot of people that I've looked into, because I've watched a lot of people who have Asperger's now talk about their Asperger's, and in particular, like, females, because I know that it is thought to affect females differently to males, or like you say, it could just be perceptions. But a lot of females that seem to be diagnosed with Asperger's tend to be diagnosed with other things as well. And I wonder if the other things as well are just traits of Asperger's, or like their traits, which... I'm not saying they haven't got this other thing, but maybe they have it because of Asperger's. Because I can see, like, a lot of people get diagnosed with depression alongside Asperger's, ADHD or ADD alongside it as well. And I don't think I've got either of those, but I can see why someone could think that I had bipolar, because sometimes I can be fine and then all of a sudden be really meltdown-y. I can see.
Yeah.
And I can see why someone could say OCD because of how I am with my routines.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the thing though, like, but I mean, not to get into like a whole gender thing, but it's weird that because male, I mean, I have like the routine.
Yeah, true.
And my mood can just change.
True.
But it's weird that, like, I've never been accused of, well, not accused, but it's never been suggested that I might be bipolar or that I might have OCD or something like that. Like, it is definitely something I hear more in women.
That's true.
It gets suggested that they've got these other things. Like, because I would say that I do the same things. And it, yeah, so it's weird because I always think it's odd that people always tell you, like, oh, you should get yourself checked out, or it's bipolar and that kind of thing. Like, you need to be labelled in that kind of thing. And some people are against it. I know a few people that are definitely have Asperger's, but will not get a diagnosis.
Yeah.
Because they don't want the official label of a diagnosis. They would rather know they've got it, but also know that it's not something like, I guess you worry that once you're diagnosed, you've got to like declare it or something, which I don't think that's how it works. I don't think you have to. Like I do when I'm filling out like forms and it says any disabilities, I always fill it in there. But I don't think it's like, wait, I could be wrong, but I don't think it's like a legal requirement that you have to always tell everyone you've got it. I think if you just choose not to and then it becomes a problem, it was then your own fault for not saying it in the first place. So I tend to just disclose it to everyone that I have to. But yeah, I suppose looking back at your life and trying to pinpoint how those, and you always look at like the, I suppose the hard bits or the bad bits.
Yeah.
Or the bits that you think, if only someone had known then, that would not have been as bad as it was. It's hard to not do that. Like with obviously when we've talked about obsessive thoughts and like that kind of thing, once the idea is in your head, it's hard to not do it. Like even if I say to you now, don't do it, all that does is make you try and think of more times when it's happened.
Yeah, that's true. I think going back to the what other people have said as well, sociopath was the one that I got the most. Like more people told me they thought I was a sociopath than anything else.
But that's like, if you explain your thought processes out loud to people, which is probably what you were doing.
Yeah.
That's where that's coming from.
Yeah, like I don't have very much emotion. Not that I don't have any emotion whatsoever, but I know that I don't have as much emotion as other people seem to, and especially in relationships, it's a lot of the time in relationships people say that I'm quite cold, which I get why they say it, and I understand that I could be, but also like it's weird that people would, I don't know,
it's weird that people would what?
It's weird that people would call you a sociopath because of, explaining your thought process. And like, I have really standard thought processes which get me through things. So if I feel sad or worked up or anxious about something, I always have the same thought process of, in a week's time, this won't even be a big deal. In a month's time, it definitely won't be a big deal. And that's how I deal with everything. And I always have. So when I was younger, and the same for if I was going to get in trouble for something. So if I knew like that I'd done something wrong and my parents were going to tell me off, I'd have the same thought process of there's someone right now being told off way worse than you are. So it doesn't matter. But like if you say that to people, they think that it's, you don't care. But that was just my coping mechanism. But then I just find it weird that people went straight to sociopath for having...
Oh, instead of autism.
Instead of autism, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's because when people explain their neurotypical thoughts to you and their neurotypical thought processes to you, you see them as weird.
Yeah.
And they don't make sense because you're applying your autistic view on the way they're doing something. So you're applying your own logic and your own reasoning to something they're saying and it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So in the same way that a neurotypical person could explain to you how they do something, that could make you think that's crazy, you're mental. And it's the same thing the other way around. When you explain an autistic thought process, they apply their neurotypical logic and reasoning to it, and it comes back as there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's how I ended up seeing a therapist and getting myself diagnosed, because the girl I was with at the time, she knew me. I'd explain some of the things I was thinking and doing, and she just went, there's something wrong with you. You need help. And I told you, I said, like, in the very first episode of this, when we were talking about getting diagnosed, she was convinced that I was going to, like, climb a clock tower and start shooting people or something like that. Yeah. She thought I was going to have, like, a full-on thing. And I was never going to. It's just she felt that I would never deal with anything emotionally.
Yeah.
She said that no matter what happens to you, it's the same. It's constantly the same with you. It's the same. You react to everything the exact same way. And she said, no matter what I'm telling you, like, you just, it's the same reaction. Like, she said, I could predict the way you're going to behave to something. And she'd been with other people and seen they hadn't done that. And obviously, like, when you've been in a relationship a few times, do you know what I mean? Like, you've been with like 7 people, 6 of them all react the same way, and then you've got the one that doesn't.
Yeah.
And I was the one that doesn't, which is why she told me to go see someone, and they were like, it's just Asperger's. But initially, I believed her. So when she said it, I was thinking like, oh God, what if I am one of those people that like does that? Do you know what I mean? I started thinking like, what if I just one day flip and like all the stuff that was building up inside me because I haven't been dealing with it properly just all came out in one go and I just went on like a spree. And same thing there, like no one went, you're just autistic. No one went like, it's your, and it was weird because I remember her watching America's Next Top Model, which was around the same time that I got diagnosed. And there was literally a contestant on there that had Asperger's. And they were talking about how this person had to do like, where she had to look at the camera lens to have a picture taken. And she couldn't do it. She couldn't look directly at anyone to do anything. So yeah. All her pictures were always sideways on or like, do you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing, profile. And she'd never do a face shot. And then one episode she does do a face shot and they talk about it. And she comes out and says, this is so hard because of this, that, and the other. My ex had been watching that and didn't say to me, do you know what? Actually, I've been watching this episode for a while. This contestant's been on it every week. Maybe you've got Asperger's. No, she told me, maybe you're going to kill a load of people. So like, it's just the way it is. Like people don't go naturally down that route. So like, you were probably told you were a sociopath because they know what that is. People know what a sociopath is. People know what that is, but they don't know what Asperger's is. And so they go to the thing that they recognize. I don't think it's like they were thinking Scarlett's probably autistic, but I'm going to tell her she's a sociopath.
Yeah.
I think they just thought Scarlett, like, there's just something weird about her. And when you explain what you've got, they apply what limited knowledge they have on, like, mental health and that kind of thing. And they've drawn the conclusion that you're a psycho. But do you know what I mean? Like, if you met someone like me, because you met me and I know all about, like, Asperger's, autism, that kind of thing, when you told me the things you did, I just kind of went, you know, you've got Asperger's.
Yeah.
I didn't go to, do you know you're mental? Do you know you're a psycho? Do you know you're a sociopath? Because I understood it. And there's a good chance that if you'd never met me, you would still not be, you wouldn't be getting diagnosed. I don't know if you'd have ever got diagnosed.
I feel like there was a chance that I might have gone to therapy, but that was just because I was in a relationship where I lived with the person and they were getting to a point of, what's wrong with you? Like, I was being told, like, almost weekly that I was really cold and that I showed no affection, and that it's weird because it's like I've got no emotion a lot of the time, but then if I'm about to have a meltdown, I have too much emotion and I'm like hysterical, and they couldn't work out why I could get so emotional over something tiny, but then when it came to the relationship or anything else, like I had nothing. And then I was starting to get confused as well, because I would think, I'm not a cold person, but maybe I am a cold, and I couldn't work out what I was doing wrong. So they'd say, you're not showing me any affection, and I would kind of go, yeah, I don't really know what you mean.
But like, when you think about how frustrating that was and how...
Oh, yeah, it was so frustrating.
But, like, now that you know what it is, it makes it easier.
Yeah.
Because you don't think, like, you don't start spending time thinking. But then this is the problem. Like, you get told that's what it is.
Yeah.
You think, ah, oh, that makes sense. All that times I did this and all the times we argued about that, that's fine. But then you think, but we argued about it and he knew me, and obviously he knew me well enough to tell me that something was wrong, but he didn't think it was Asperger's.
Yeah.
And you got to think, like, you do just do that. You just assume that everybody must have known. Everybody was saying it, but...
Especially now that the more I know about it, the more things that I've gone, that fits the profile perfectly, that fits the profile perfectly. And then I just think, why did no one tell me that these things were weird? Like, for example, the way I am with touch and the fact I've always had a pillow that I stroked at night and when I felt stressed, and I always have to stroke something soft to calm me down. Why did no one go, that's not normal at this point? Like, you can have a comfort blanket when you're a baby, but you can't, like, I'm 21 years old and no one told me that that was a little bit weird.
Yeah, but when you told me about that, I didn't straight away go, oh, autistic, like, that's it, just autistic. Like, if you just look at that as an isolated thing on its own.
Yeah.
Some people just have something like that. Even when they're older, sometimes it's just you think it's a bit weird because you just think, well, I've still got that. But, like, I know someone that's got a blanket. It's got the name of it had when they were a baby, so it's not Nunu, but something like that. They still refer to it as that. They still can't sleep in bed without it under their pillow. So, like, on its own, it just looks like one thing. And they reckon that everybody's got autistic traits. You just need to have a certain amount of them to be classed as autistic. So there's some people that are borderline, some people that just have, like, 3 or 4 autistic traits. And I guess if you see them, you know, like, when I've explained to you before that somebody, you say, oh, yeah, I do this, and that's what makes me autistic, and they go, yeah, but I do that.
Yeah.
It's like that. So I imagine, like, for some people, you'll do things and they don't think, well, that's an autistic trait. They just think, she's a bit weird. Or they just think, yeah, I know someone that does that. She's just one of them. It's only when you know someone that knows you well and they know the combination and there's too many things that are too weird. Like with me, like, it's not like after like a day of getting to know you, I was just like, ooh, burger.
Yeah.
It took a while. Well, I say it took a while. It took like a week. And I just, like, in my head was putting all these things together. And I was just like, oh, she does do that. And she's got this. And I've seen her do that. And she was talking about this. And there is that over there. And then, like, just at one point, I was just like, right, this is too coincidental now. You're definitely. But it took me because I knew what I was looking for.
Yeah.
But to anybody else, you're just seen as a bit odd. It's like, even now, even though I'm diagnosed, like, there are still times where I do stuff that are so weird that I have to. I mean, at least the difference is I used to have to just apologize or get embarrassed and leave. Now I just go, I've got Asperger's, all right? Like, this is just, I'm going to be doing this.
Yeah.
Or I understand myself. So if I've done something that's considered a bit odd and someone's told me it's a bit weird, I understand why I've been a bit weird and I don't feel like this. Like, yeah, why did I do that? So I've got, like, that benefit of it, I guess. And even though you don't have the official diagnosis, like, I still feel like, feel free to fill your boots on that one now. Like, you totally can.
Yeah, I think another thing that annoys me, and it shouldn't annoy me, but just in terms of what's been working me up this week, is since going, like, I didn't believe it when you told me, I didn't believe it when the first therapist told me, when the second therapist that was actually, you know, looking for it, told me, yeah, I'm gonna, like, move you on to referral. That's when I started changing my behaviors because I felt like there's a good chance now that I do have it. So if I change my behaviors, I can make, like, my life easier.
Yeah.
So I started just saying, so if someone said, do you want to come out or do you want to do this? I started just going, no, I don't. I want to be on my own. I don't want to hang out with you. And I started being a lot more like that. I started saying what I felt a lot more as well. And I started not pushing myself to talk to people and make small talk unnecessarily. So now, like, I just don't. And that is things that's changed. And maybe that's not, like, a great thing in terms of, like, making myself seem normal, but it's been a great thing in terms of taking stress off. And I don't feel exhausted when I come home from work because I've spent all day trying to talk to people and, like, make myself appear normal and things like that. But then it gets me annoyed that it's taken me this long to start doing things that are just my natural way of being.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I mean, obviously, like, I know there's, like, you can say stuff like, and people say, like, no one's really normal, but like, once you've got diagnosed, you've got an excuse for doing the things that would consider weird to everybody else.
Yeah.
So, like, you can start doing these things now that, like you've said, aren't considered normal. But it doesn't matter, because once it's out there and you're officially diagnosed as an Asperger person, it won't matter. It won't matter because nobody will see what you do as weird. They'll just see it as that's what you do. And obviously you don't have to try and pretend to be like everybody else. So And now that I've told you, like, the thing that I think should also back up your belief that you have Asperger's is that once I told you and the two therapists told you and you started adjusting things that somebody with Asperger's would adjust to make their life easier, and then it did make your life easier.
Yeah, that's true.
That sort of tells you that you are.
Like, it feels like I was a massively fake person for a long time. And I say that not in a really bad way, but just not being, like, true to myself. And then I've started to be a lot more honest with myself about what I do like and don't like. And I've stopped pretending that I might one day like that, or if I just go on a night out, I might enjoy it, or things like that. Like,
I know what you mean.
Yeah, like, I've started to just do what I know I want to do. And to be honest, most of the time that is just being, like, not hanging out with people and being in my flat on my own and stuff like that. But doing that more has made me feel like I feel a lot more comfortable in myself, and I'm glad that I'm no longer doing the whole, oh yeah, I will come out, and then getting home, shutting the curtains and turning my phone off and trying to avoid all the messages, and then getting stressed while I come up with whatever my excuse is going to be the next day.
Yeah.
Like, now I'm not doing that. I feel a lot better. It's just irritating to me that, if I spent so long doing it a different way, like, I could have, in theory, just been myself this whole time and saved myself a lot of stress.
Yeah, but, I mean, you're 21 now. Yeah. Like, say you live to your 80s.
Yeah, I know.
So you're in just, like, 60 years of you can be yourself now.
Yeah.
It's not least bad. I mean, there's some people I know that, or I've read about as well, that didn't get diagnosed till they're in, like, their 50s, 60s. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, so they've had to go that whole time. It's just a massive release when you get diagnosed, because instead of, like, NT people that stay at home all the time and don't go out, like, it's seen as weird. It's seen as, like, odd. But when you're on the spectrum, like, staying inside and doing what you're doing is totally fine. And you know you're doing it to do it. So you can see it as, like, you know, when you're not diagnosed, you're laying about thinking, am I boring? Am I a boring person?
Yeah.
You've asked me that before about yourself. Like, do you think I'm boring? But you've got to remember that the things you're doing when you're at home is necessary, and it is fine to do it. But you need the diagnosis to say that it's fine to do it.
Yeah.
But like I say, you're only 20 now. You've got ages to go along doing this. And like you said yourself, when you said a week from now, will it matter? Like,
this
is obviously a much bigger thing. But, like, a year from now, like I say, I was just the same as you. I was frustrated. I was angry. Like, I could list all the different people I blamed for me not getting diagnosed and how my life was, like, ruined, and it was a waste of time. And, like, my whole life was, like, a complete waste of time because I've gone this long, and all the key points in your life that shape the person who you become, school, college, uni, the decisions you make at that young age to determine who you're going to be. At the age I am now, I should be at the point where I'm doing what I'm doing. And all that stuff in the past was ruined because I went through it wrong. And I used to do that for ages. Now I'm less that way. Now I'm like, it's fine. Like, there's nothing, I've kind of accepted that there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
And all I can do now is do what's going to happen, not what has happened.
Yeah.
And you'll get used to it. It's just, it's still really fresh with you. You're probably going to go through a few more times of being annoyed with not being diagnosed sooner, and being left to, what you'll see is, like, being left to struggle. But yeah, you just got to remember that most people out there don't realize, and obviously awareness is way higher now. Like, people get noticed much easier these days. So for previous people, like, it's just been something that's a thing, and it might be something where you maybe in the future, everybody will recognize Asperger's or autism in someone straight away because everyone's more aware of it.
Yeah.
And they won't have to deal with this.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's just a... like I say, it's coming and going in waves of anger. And at the moment, it's probably a lot more heightened because I'm angry at myself.
And you got your results.
For the results. Yeah, I mean, that's me being... Yeah, I'm
the results triggered it.
Yeah, definitely.
And obviously you ruminate, think too much.
Yeah.
The results made you realise, well, I would have got better if I'd have had support and been diagnosed. And it just makes you think of everything else that this has happened to as
exactly.
well.
It's just it was a combination of things that were just building up and making me annoyed. And then I project that onto different thought processes, and it just messes with my whole feng shui.
I don't know if you're using that right.
I am.
I don't think so.
Yes.
I don't.
My feng shui is right out of loop.
Isn't feng shui just furniture, though?
No.
Are you not thinking of, like, chi?
My whole chi is so out of loop. My yin and yang is gone.
Okay, so has this made you feel any better talking about it?
A bit.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't expecting to fix it. Let's face it, if I was that good, then...
you'd be a doctor.
Yeah, I'm just...
That would be your calling in life.
These are just all...
Work in retail.
Shut up. This would just be... Yeah, I just, like, I had a go. I tried to help.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. You are actually good to talk to. Like, I do talk to you when I need someone to talk to.
I try.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll try less.
No, I enjoyed it. It was a good chat.
Okay. But yeah, that's it for now, unless there's anything else you want to add.
No.
You better say the thing then that ends it.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.